Our next item is old business. Our first item of old business is change of zone number 1687, Rick Banning.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is, these two particular items are in my territory, and I know we had a considerable turnout at the public hearing for that. And I know we discussed them both together as part of that public hearing, and I have some comments to make about it, and I'm interested in some of the feedback from my fellow commissioners as well, for the record.
Okay.
And for the record, I am in favor of the affordably priced rental unit program, and I certainly support.
Can I interrupt? I just want to ask a procedural question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Robertson, is there an issue with discussing both the change of zone and the conditional use at the same time and then acting on them separately? Or, because it's kind of hard to talk about one without talking about the other.
Yeah, I don't know that there's an issue with that. I think probably what should happen would be at the time that you call the conditional use item on the agenda, just to make it clear, somebody ought to make a statement that, you know, whatever comments were made incorporated into
okay.
that one as well.
All right. Okay. I just want to make sure we didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You did say change the zone. Thank you.
Yeah. But that's fine. I think we can talk about it all at once.
Well, and they all kind of, they both obviously go, you know, hand in hand in terms of what the applicant's seeking to do with that particular property. And that's why I wanted to discuss them both. And but as I was saying, you know, I'm certainly in support of our affordably priced rental unit program, and naturally, I'm also in favor of having brownfield remediation and land reclamation, and to possibly turn ground that might be hazardous into productive ground. However, with this particular project, I do have some concerns about the density that's being requested. As a MR district or medium residential district, obviously the density, minimum density is 4.53 per units per acre. And that certainly is within reason given the surrounding development where the other housing projects in the area have been developed at 4 per acre. So that certainly is not outside the realm of possibility and blending in with the rest of those developments. However, with this particular project and this particular parcel of ground, I'm concerned about how it's landlocked. When you look at the particular project itself, you have a minimum of over a quarter mile for those residents to go from the nearest proposed apartment building to Plantations Road, which is their only access. So it's pretty much landlocked with a long gooseneck. So that presents concerns for me from the standpoint of pedestrian safety and bicyclist safety. Never mind the issues that we've, encounter every time there's any project remotely related to Plantations Road. And this project, interestingly enough, when I went back and looked at the minutes from the 2004 public hearing, there was concern about the overload then on Plantations Road. So here we are 5.5 years later, and other than maybe some blacktop, I don't know if anything has been done to Plantations Road yet. We keep hearing the promise about Postal Lane and Cedar Grove and all that good stuff, but it hasn't happened yet. If and when it happens, I'll be happy, and I'm sure a lot of residents will be too. But anyhow, besides those safety issues, with the density that's being proposed, which the 216 units translates into 11.78 units per acre, which is granted a tad under the maximum of 12 that this commission has the ability to approve, I'm not aware of any nearby projects of that density other than those that are in the highway commercial zone on Highway 1. You know, there's nothing inland that remotely resembles that. And I think that One of the things I've learned in the past when I've tried to come up with creative formulas for density's sake, I was taken to the woodshed, so to speak, by council. So I'm concerned about how we come up with a number that makes this project work, so we have a reclamation of that land, as well as blending in with the surrounding area. At the same time, I have the concern that this is not the only undeveloped parcel there. There's a large farm that adjoins this property, and if we go in and we approve something at such a high density rate, what's obviously to prevent the next applicant to come along and say, well, gee, I want mine too. You know, so if they got it, why can't I? And now instead of us having 216 units, now we have maybe a couple thousand in a very concentrated area. Yes, I like to make the project work, but my position is I don't think this commission should be put in the place or in the position of having to come up with a number that justifies financially for some applicant to develop this particular parcel. We're in what our decision should be based on land use, not on economics, not on financial viability of some developer. So if someone's bought property and they paid too much for it, you know, that's the luck of the draw, you know, as I see it. But in that respect, I think it, when I looked at this particular project and I tried to come up with a number that fit both the affordably priced rental unit program. That
good job. I'm not sure I could have remembered it. Anyway, go ahead.
Or you can call it APRUP if you want to use an acronym that they came up with. I don't know. But if we were to do the 20% density bonus, which I think is certainly reasonable as a means of encouraging developers to provide the affordably priced rental unit program, that would translate into an additional 16 units, because 4.53 units per acre times the acreage turns into 80 units, which is what was originally approved by this commission back in 2004. So I see that as a logical extension beyond that. And that's why, from my perspective, I'm supportive of the program, but I'm supportive at certainly a much less density than has been proposed by the applicant. And to this day, I don't know how they came up with that number. You know, I don't know how they arrived at 11.78 units per acre, or whether they just said, okay, let's stick a bunch of army barracks on this ground and see how many units we can get out of it based on the county's height ordinance, you know, and stormwater management. But that's my feeling.
All right, sir. Well, we'll certainly check in with everybody else. I do want to remind, and I know the commissioners don't need reminding, but for those of you who may have an interest, it's the job of the commission to make a recommendation to county council. And when Mr. Johnson made a reference being taken to the woodshed, well, that's their privilege. Their privilege is that they can take us to the woodshed. They can they can disagree with us if they want to. But we have, our job is to make a recommendation. And I think we should make a full and complete recommendation with, you know, whatever that might be. So anyone else? Mr. Ross, Mr. Smith, someone? Mr. Burton, anybody want to weigh in?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do. I'd like to just comment back on the public hearing back on August, I believe the 27th, and let the members of the public know that I feel as though the commission as a body listened to the concerns that came from those both cares and concerns, both in support and in opposition to. I feel as though with this being a conditional use that a lot of the usual concerns that we get insofar as privacies, interaction of subdivisions that we can deal and work with through conditions of placing the amenities in the community in the proper spot. I think that the commission has always been extremely sensitive to the matters of graves, of known and unknown as to the location and the preservation and protection of them. Additionally, we had three what I consider to be big topics of concern, and I think the number one for me was the environment. And I'd really like to see this site be cleaned up. We had some, I was struck by ironies on these three issues, and that was the irony of seemed to be descendants of the people that were property owners that may have contributed to the tarnishing and the dumping on this property that voiced an opposition to the cleanup of the site. And I found that to be an irony. The other big topic, I think, was property values. And as I think about that, having this site near single-family residences, multifamily residences, in its present state, there is a part of Delaware real estate law that requires the individual seller of a single-family residence to fill out a Uniform Seller's Disclosure Act. And it puts the onus on the seller of that property to disclose any adverse conditions that they know about not only their property, but properties in the immediate area. And this was a very high-profile public hearing, a lot of publicity, involvement by the homeowners associations. I just don't see how residents in the nearby area could hope to sell their properties for anywhere close to a reasonable market value if they, as they are compelled by Delaware law to fill out the seller's disclosure of real estate values. The last irony that I took as sort of a Socratic irony was additionally, I remember that we had an elected Delaware official that took advantage of the high profile and I think the electric atmosphere of our public hearing to not only chastise members of the State of Delaware Department of Natural Resources Environmental Control that testified, and I believe they'd come out that they were here on a voluntary basis, also mentioned that he'd had conversations past, present, and hope for future with Ms. Wicks about Plantation Road, and that he was going to go to bat to see that any improvements on Plantation Road, insofar as creating a four-lane road, would not take place. Lastly, we were told about, I guess, given that template as how to represent the best interest of your constituents, we were advised that there were people in the room that thought perhaps we did not best represent our citizens of Sussex County. So those of us that use Plantation Road on an occasional basis or on a daily basis, we have those efforts of that Delaware official going for us. Thank you.
The only thing on the density issue that I can see, and I tried to do a little research on the advantages or incentives for someone to participate in the moderately priced housing or moderately priced rental programs. And there only seems to be two incentives. One is an expedited process, so he can shorten his timeline. And the other is a 20% density bonus, which he can only take advantage of if they're at the maximum density in a particular zoning district. And so for this particular application, if we approve the change in zone, that would put the maximum density at 12 units per acre. And if they took advantage of the density bonus provided by the rental program, they would get a 20% bonus as a max that they could actually apply for. which means this particular application could have applied for 260-some units, but did not. So I think that despite the allowances and the incentive for allowing some extra density and maybe even encouraging some extra density, I don't know the logic behind it, the basis. I can't read the council's mind as to why they wouldn't want to encourage that. I can imagine some things. Obviously, the affordability is an issue that's clearly in the ordinance. But I think also it probably opens up some opportunity that density maybe isn't a four-letter word. If we want mass transit opportunities or buses, that we're going to have to put up with some density, or if we don't, well, then we can spread these units out over a larger acreage and forget about those opportunities for mass transit. Despite all that, though, I think the public hearing did show some legitimate concerns by neighboring properties. It is a significantly higher density. I'm not so sure that it wouldn't negatively impact property values at the density that's being requested. So I think some lower number needs to be arrived at. What that number is, I'm not really positive, but I think, again, our job is to make a recommendation. Maybe we can cut the number a bit and let the council figure out what it is they really intend by that ordinance.
Okay. I'll just weigh in on that a little bit. Is that, you know, what struck me in the public hearing was really what I think is the need for this type of rental unit. I think that Rehoboth, the Lewis area, is no longer as much a seasonal resort area as it is more year round, and I just think there's a need for this type of rental unit for the workers of the area, whether they be teachers or just summer help. So I too am worried about the 11.77 units to the acre, but I think there may be a different number that could both handle the site, the remediation of the site, and also handle the site. The density worries me, but the cleaning up of the site excites me, and use that they're proposing I think is needed.
All right, well, gentlemen, I would just agree with the density comments. I think what the applicant has proposed is too many. We've got 216 on one hand and 96 on the other. So looks like we're trying to reconcile perhaps between those two. I share your concern and comments for the need in the area. I think it seems like what gets the headlines and so on sticks in folks' mind is what a great place it is to retire to, and it is a great place to retire to, and we want it to continue to be that too. But in order to serve the folks that are here, the people who are working have to have a place to live, and that's what I see here. The other thing that I'm wondering about, and again, Mr. Robertson, maybe you could shed some light on the limits of our authority here. Do we have any? I know we can make a density recommendation, but can we make a further recommendation on what the ratio of market price to affordable price unit should be? Are we locked into the 20%, or can we ask for a few more? And the other thing is, can we put something into motion that refers to market price units? Because I would not want to see the development go 100% affordable or in some other manner subsidized, because we do have to be sensitive to the property values in the area. So I would want to make sure that we had, if we can, put some language in a motion that says, not less than 70% of the units will be market price units. That way, that preserves the property values for the people around, and might allow for a few more of the affordably priced units. the units themselves, I think, are going to be a little more affordable and, you know, certainly than single-family homes in that area are going to be anyway. So
I think that you can put on the affordably priced units, you could put a maximum or cap on it. I'm reluctant to say that you can decrease it because that's subject to an agreement that's been reached to get them into the affordably priced housing unit program. You know, in other words, I don't think you can say it's going to be less than the percent that they applied for because that's what got them into the track that they're on for the affordably priced program and the expedited consideration. But there's no reason why you couldn't say the number of units that are part of this program shall not exceed some threshold. I mean, and ultimately, though, I don't know how the commission can dictate what the market's going to drive as far as what rentals are.
We can't. My only concern for that is that as these things often go, the folks who have the application in front of us may not be the folks that end up building it. And what I would like to make sure of is that there isn't some program out there that's I hesitate to use the words Section 8 because those are the scare words of subsidized housing. But the fact is, I would not want to see a circumstance where a fully subsidized project could occur there. And I guess that's what I'm searching for is some language that might.
I'm not sure that the commission, really, nor the council, can put a broad enough limitation on that. You know, I mean, I think you can address the county's affordably priced rental unit program. I'm not going to try to remember the acronym that Mr. Johnson gave.
RUP,
all right. But I don't know how you could put such a limitation across the board on that project. You know, with the types of units, short of what's already in the code as far as, you know, the number of families that could be in there and that type of thing. I don't know that you could really make such a broad limitation on it.
If the number was agreed upon with their application and it was established, could we not stick with that number and say it was 20, whatever it was? Say it was 20
units. 20%?
And then we just say 20 units will be, no matter what the number of units are that are approved. That gets you a few more units if you reduce the number. Of the total.
Yeah.
You just say, I think if we're going to provide for 20 affordable housing rental units, then you just use that 20 as your number.
I think you can do that. I think you could even go so far as to say that, you know, there shall be no more than, say, to use your 20%, 30% that are participants in the Sussex County affordably priced rental units at home.
Okay, well, that does essentially what I wanted to do, just from the other direction.
Right.
Okay.
I think the minimum is 15. It has to be 15% to be in the program.
Correct. Well, I think up to 30 is fine. I wouldn't. I'm. But I am interested in preserving the values in the area too. So. All right, gentlemen. Everybody's had their say to this point. So we're talking about a number.
Well, at this point,
we're talking about a motion.
A rezoning.
A rezoning.
Yeah, not to the number yet.
Not to the number yet.
Because you got to get past whether it should go to MR first.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion concerning the change of zone.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone 1687 for Rick Banning for a change in zone from AR1 to MR medium density residential based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. The land is in the environmentally sensitive developing district, according to the county's comprehensive land use plan. MR zoning is appropriate in this area, according to the plan. The MR zoning is appropriate for the site since it is in the immediate vicinity of other MR zone lands and would be consistent with the zoning and uses on neighboring property, which include commercial sites, townhouse-style homes, multifamily dwellings, and single-family homes. Property is within a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District and will receive sewer service from Sussex County. Property has central water available to it through Tidewater Utilities. That's my motion.
All right, sir. Second.
It's a move and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1687. Rick Banning for the reasons stated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next